And we're back. You're listening to CKUT Radio 90.3 FM. We are at just about 7:25 a.m. on your Wednesday morning. And Chris is here to talk about Paola Brusati, if I said that correctly.
You got it close.
Yeah, okay, good. So Chris is a contributor to CKUT, involved with a variety of...
Yeah, also I'll let you know, most people know me when talking about art as Zeke, and I used to run an art gallery here in town called Zeke's Gallery.
Right, so better to call you Zeke. Okay, you bet. And you are going to talk about an interview that you did with Paola Brusati, and who is doing an exhibit at Yellowfish Art until the 12th of October. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, there it's Paola Brusati. First of all, to get everything off my chest, because normally with the art world, there are so many connections that are not made clear to the general public. And so my sweetie is friends with Paola Brusati, which is how I got introduced, because any which way you can get introduced to art is good by me. And if it takes your sweetie dragging you to a vernissage, then at which point, so be it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and just sort of that, making that connection clear, because then people can sort of judge for themselves whether I'm doing this because it's my sweetie's friend or if I really, really like the art, which I do.
If you have a vested interest or
something like that, yes. Yeah. You want to make everything as clear as possible, which doesn't happen all that often in the art world.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she is from Milan. She is, was part of this collective that was doing a squat for I don't know how many years there. And they then got evicted by the Milanese police, the Carabinieri, I think it is called over there, about 6 months ago. And it sort of just, was a humongous and major sort of event in her life, because you can imagine sort of having a studio where all your work is and where you've been working for 20 years and so on, and then at which point suddenly being uprooted and saying you got to get out and you got to get out now. It's very, very traumatic and so on. But nonetheless, that's a little bit of background on her. So she's been in sort of active in the Milanese art political scene and so on. And here she has, because transportation is, I would guess, probably about 80% of the cost involved in taking any show around. And so if you have the show at the museum, transportation and insurance are going to cost the bulk of it. So at which point Paola has come up with a relatively easy way of, how would you say, making transportation costs minimal, and that she works with strips of yoga mats. Mm-hmm. Which are extremely light, very easy to handle, and can almost be thrown across the Atlantic as opposed to having to pack them up, crate them up, and make them bulky and plus on top of it because they're rather soft and so on. If they get a little bit of a ding, then at which point it sort of rebounds out slowly and gently and very nicely.
Nice.
But yeah, she has these sculptures where she takes, thing is here. Yeah, ethyl vinyl acetate foam, EVA for, what would it be? The pronunciation challenged. And it's, she has two colors. She's got the red and she's got the purple. And she then basically cuts them up into strips that are about, I would guess, a centimeter, 2 centimeters wide, and then vary in length from, I don't know, the length of my arm span, which is probably about 3 feet or so, to probably smaller strips and so on, and then makes them into forms that, look basically like they're very bird-like. Some of them are very insect-like and so on, and they're about the size of your head and so on, and they then get suspended from the ceiling or placed on the floor. And the whole basic idea is that you got the red ones, which for the most part are suspended from the ceiling. You have the purple ones that are, for the most part, on the floor. And red is one end of the spectrum, and purple is the other end of the spectrum.
On the color spectrum.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And at which point you're supposed to use your eyes to imagine all the other colors in between.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit trippy-dippy and stuff like that. I think she might have been an old hippie in a previous life or something like that. And... yeah, on top of it, it's, I forgot to mention, the show is called Anime Animali, which, and you translate that into English, and it becomes Souls of the Animals. And so this is where I'm sort of figuring, if you look at them, that's where, if it wasn't called Anime Animali, I probably would not be emphasizing the animal-like nature of the sculptures, because it really isn't that they are a bird or that they are an insect, but they look vaguely like something you'd see at the Insectarium or at a Museum of Natural History.
Right.
And the way that she, makes them is once, yeah, I'm going all over the place. I should have had sort of like an agenda and said, okay, this is the point. And this
is the point. It's okay. It's very interesting.
And yeah, she basically takes the strips and then she uses pins to make them, because then you sort of wrap them over themselves, around themselves, put a pin through, and then take another strip and pin it down, and then put some more pins so as to give it a form that then sort of comes out. And they are absolutely as glorious and wonderful and so on. To me, it's, yeah, I'm not certain if I quite get the sort of souls of the animals, although when you say it in Italian, anime, animali, mm-hmm. it sounds very, very nice and sort of like that whole romantic sort of stuff. And you can sort of imagine that you have like a glass of Campari or something with you and sort of say, ooh, this is wicked cool. I tend to think that, yeah, EVA would be a better thing because I don't quite get the souls of the animals. Mm-hmm. I can understand the opposite ends of the spectrums and how you're supposed to sort of view everything in, because that is, to me, ultimately with art, it's what you bring to it and what mm-hmm. you see in it, as opposed to what is what other people tell you to see in it.
This is what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's more about what how you interpret it.
Yeah, exactly. In the same way that if you're reading a book or seeing a movie, oh, that's what it makes you feel.
Sure.
But it's unfortunately with a lot of visual art, it's the sort of thing that people just say, oh, I don't know what to think about.
Okay, what were they trying to do? Yeah. But at the same time, presumably the artist has some kind of intention for what she's trying to...
I would certainly hope so.
Did she talk about this or what she's trying to convey, or is it...
It's sort of the... Short answer, no.
Okay. So it's really just...
It is where with any artist, it's the sort of thing where they use... it's a completely different language.
Right.
And it is the equivalent of, speaking Italian or speaking Chinese or Swahili or what have you. And it is just then the more that you see art, then the more conversant you become, more fluent you become in it. And so that's where it's like, if I'm seeing bird-like objects and insect-like objects because it's called anime, animali, then that's okay. And then how do these make me feel? That's mine. It's, you'd see it probably something entirely differently or a variation on that and stuff. And both are exactly as valuable. And then because in Paola's case specifically, is she doesn't want to impose anything more than that on you. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know whether it is because she is scared, worried, or just wants you to have a complete freedom of
interpretation,
freedom of viewing, freedom, complete freedom, period. Yeah, there's that old hippie stuff again.
That hippie, what? And how did you react to it? You've seen the exhibition.
Yeah, I've seen the exhibition a couple of times, and it is the sort of thing where it's endlessly fascinating because it's sort of like, it's not quite origami in that when you see a piece of like intricately folded and twisted and pinned and stuff like that, it's like, whoa, that's like, they're almost like
it does look like an animal or an insect.
Yes. But it is, it's just intricately formed and so on. Okay. And given that it is large as well, it's not the sort of thing where any of them are terribly look like they're precious jewels or anything, but it's just, wow, this has worked very well. And because they're suspended from the ceiling, you can see pretty much all around them and from the top, the bottom and all the sides.
Okay.
And, and it is, to me, much more a process of looking at the form and looking at how they are made and what they are made with that intrigues me and interests me and sort of fascinates me, and seeing that how what you would imagine is just a fairly pedestrian, fairly normal thing of like a yoga mat, at which point you say, wow, I never thought of that. This is pretty darn kick-ass.
Yeah, it sounds very creative. Mm-hmm. Just the idea, the concept of using this... what do you call it, EVA?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. It's nothing that I would have normally done. And it's like normally if I pass by a yoga studio, I run screaming the other way.
But now you can think art. What can I create with this?
Mm-hmm. And it is, and then it is the sort of thing of just realizing with the pins and so on, they themselves make very nice patterns. And if I wanted to go off and get a PhD or something like that, could talk about how the pins are sort of like tattooing on the animals.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Did you think that was symbolic? Was it just a functional thing to use the pins, or do you think it was representative of something else?
To me, it's the pins are... they are functional because it would either be pins or glue, and I think pins are much, much nicer because they're small and shiny and they go against the red and the purple and so on.
But given the name of the exhibit, Souls of the Animals, I think it was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So do you think there's a message there about the pins being pressed into the animals and some kind of the tortured souls of...
I never thought of that.
I would have to go see the exhibit trying to make my own interpretation on this, but it just seems like an interesting concept.
Yeah, no, that is... I'd honestly never thought of that myself. To me, it's a sort of thing of realizing that they make patterns themselves, and so it's a sort of pattern on top of a sort of intricate form, so it's they have both things sort of playing off against each other, and at which point... Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and check it out and see if that makes any sense, because I definitely am having difficulty making that leap into the souls of the animals. She talks very specifically about how she wanted to use the opposite ends of the spectrum and get a lot of stuff from the viewer in the middle.
Yeah.
And so there it's, I'm certain that given that I can make up a lot of stuff in the middle, can go on about the souls, but there was never really any sort of strong connection to me on that specific thing. But then again, it's the sort of pieces themselves are why you want to go see it, and at which point what they're called really is irrelevant. It could be Mission Impossible 17, and it might be a good movie, or might not be a good movie. The title is secondary to the whole thing.
Sure. But
That could be, yeah. It's the sort of thing where, to me, one of the things that caught me was that they were very tattoo-like in the way that they were shaped on stuff. However, although as she is from Italy and stuff like that, that sort of connection to Aboriginal is also a little bit of a stretch, and so I might be the one who is making it up there, and nobody else is the one who sees it. And
well, that's it. Sometimes we tend to project our own meaning onto these things, don't we?
So. Yes, and I think that is entirely the thing to do.
That's not necessarily a bad thing,
yes.
Is it? Yeah. Well, that's really, it sounds like a great exhibit. It sounds really interesting. It's, as we said, it is happening at Yellowfish Art until the 12th of October. Just let people know where that is exactly.
Yellowfish Art is on Salon. I think it's 3684, if memory serves, because I guess wrote down all the addresses of all the other galleries that I'm going to go see today, but didn't get that one down. For the ease of figuring out, it's right above Go-Go Lounge.
Okay.
Which is right across the street from Cat Frères.
Yeah.
And it's up until October 18th.
Oh, okay. I had the 12th, so it's actually October 18th.
Oh, 12th. No, you're right. I'm wrong.
Is it the 12th?
Okay. Yes, I'm looking at the wrong piece of paper.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good, Chris. Zeke, I should say.
Either one works. I can say, call me whatever you want, just don't call me late for dinner.
Well, thanks a lot for coming in and talking to us about this.
It's my pleasure. It's the sort of thing where I do my best to try and get because there's just way too much art out there in Montreal.
Yeah.
Then an awful lot of people don't go out and see it. I've had people tell me they think that like Montreal art is not like there, and then you turn around and realize that there are over like 350 art galleries here in town, and that the government despite what Stephen Harper is doing, the Quebec government does a stupendous and phenomenal job of supporting it, and so there's just stuff to go out and see just about every day, and so I have like a list of like four other places that I got to get out to today. And
there's a lot going on in the city.
There's tons upon tons of stuff.
Yeah.
If you let it overwhelm you, then you can sort of give up on your day job and give up on sleep, and you just end up going to these vernissages, which are very nice, by the way, for the most part, because they have free wine and finger food.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to go hungry. You just got to go without the sleep and without the job.
Yeah, so for art lovers, it's a great way to spend a day to wander around to some of these galleries. And is there a way of finding out about what exhibits are going on?
They're the ways that I sort of cobbled together my own sort of list, because if you look at any of the weeklies, they have all incomplete lists of the galleries. Each one has their own sort of select list of who they like and which galleries they're going to promote. Then on top of it, there is this thing called Rats de Ville, which is RATSDEVILLE.com, which is this guy, Eric Bauduc, who has just decided that he's going to do his best to organize everything that happens. And so he has his own list that is like the listings of in the weeklies. Then on top of it, there is the whole Maison de la Culture, which is the city-run stuff. And so between the three of them, and it's the city's website, the Rats de Ville website, and then the four weeklies, it's sort of, okay, that is pretty much a comprehensive list of what's happening in the city at any given time art-wise. And then to me, the other thing is that after running through it couple of times. You sort of say, okay, I'm going to take this neighborhood or I'm going to take this neighborhood. You then can, in the same way that I'm certain there are people who like the, which one, Centris as a place to go see mm-hmm. films over the AMC. You then sort of get on the mailing list for that specific gallery that you like, whether it is Yellowfish right. or whether it is the Maison de la Culture Le Plateau or whether it is the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts and so on. And once you get on the mailing list, then you sort of, as opposed to having to say what's happening today, you can actually get in advance and so on. Yeah. You can get yourself all excited and say, ooh, that sounds like fun. Oh, right. wow.
And you get the heads up and know what's going on.
Which is always helpful. And to me, it's, yeah, as I come back to it, the more you see it, the more sort of conversant you become with it, and at which point the more comfortable you become, so is that you then can say, no, that, I'm not a big fan of that, even though mm-hmm. you got all excited mm-hmm. when they emailed you and said, come on down.
But it's still, it's always worth seeing, isn't it?
Yeah, to me, it is for the price, because except for occasionally at a museum, nobody's going to be charging you anything to go see these. And at which point, yes, like for something that can quite literally knock your socks off or make your head explode because they are so incredible and amazing and wonderful, it's you really can't beat it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Zeke. And anytime you want to come back and talk about another exhibit, we'd love to have mm-hmm. you.
No problem. It would be my pleasure.
Great. Mm-hmm. So once again, Paola Brusati, sculptor from Milan, with her exhibit at Yellowfish Art, running until October 12th. You are listening to CKUT Radio. It is now just about 20 minutes to 8 o'clock, about 19 minutes to 8 o'clock.